Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're so excited to welcome you back inside CHSL. The official podcast of the Catholic High School League is back. It's Brendan Johnson and Jeremy Otto, the original crew, back on the microphone here with you. And for those of you that followed before, you knew that Inside CHSL was a podcast that started back in the winter of 2019 to cover all of the Catholic League and Catholic League athletics. And we had a great thing going until the COVID pandemic hit in 2020. We've been on pause since, but Jeremy, it is so great to be back on the microphone with you.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and if you were waiting this long for us to return, kudos to you, because it didn't look like we were going to for a minute there, but we're really happy that not only the Catholic League, but the Archdiocese of Detroit was willing to continue this thing. And I think if you talk amongst ourselves and the crew that we had put together, I think we were just kind of starting to hit our stride. We were into a good rhythm. We just covered the Catholic League basketball championships and we're ready to roll into spring, you know, come 2020 before the pandemic hit. But I think we've got some new, fresh ideas, and, you know, you'll hear a lot of the same things that you did before in terms of formatics, but we're excited to get this thing rolling again. And, you know, we have some new league members now. So our reach has even extended into Ohio. So that's pretty cool too.
No doubt about it. I mean, Jeremy, I was just going to say, so much has happened since the pause of this podcast. And you look at the Catholic League, you mentioned numerous schools from the Toledo area in Ohio have joined the Catholic League in both boys sports and girls sports. And that started last year for the 23-24 athletic year. And they're back again and here to stay. And claimed several Catholic League championships and brought a whole nother level of competition. Jackson Lumen Christi as well has joined the Catholic League, and they also have been quite competitive in an array of sports in their first season of full competition in the Catholic League. So you're right, the league has grown. Some of the dynamics have changed. Many great rivalries still in place. New rivalries have begun, even personally. Jeremy, so much even for you and I. You're a father of two kids. I got married. I guess actually you were engaged when the podcast paused. So we both in the time of the pause have gotten married. You have two beautiful kids and the league has grown and there's so many great things. And athletics are back in a full swing after the pandemic. We've all, you know, lived through some crazy times. But man, is it exciting to finally bring this back. And this has been an effort of the Archdiocese and the Catholic League, with a special thanks to both Mike Evoy and to Vic Michaels for their persistence in this and their desire to bring it back. And to tell you a little bit about the podcast, and I previewed it as I was in the intro here, but the goal of this podcast is to promote Catholic League athletics and Catholic League student athletes. There are so many great schools, so many great teams, so many great student athletes in this league that not only we can promote state champions, which we'll get into soon, and Catholic League champions, and coaches of the year and Hall of Fame coaches and Hall of Fame athletes and all of that, but so much happens even beyond the court, the field, the ice, the pool, you name it. There's a lot of great stories that we've wanted to tell. And that was really the mission of this podcast, is to tell the stories, not only of our successful teams, but our successful people that are in this league and schools that are in this league. And Jeremy, I think we finally have that chance to bring it back and to do that and to share those stories with our broader community.
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing too is we want help from you all, the listeners as well, because we have little birdies, you know, we have good connections in terms of being in tune with what's happening with, you know, whether it's coaches or, you know, league members that run the league and athletic directors and all that. But if you hear of a good story, especially in a sport that's maybe not covered as it should be on the local media level, because they can't get to everything. Or if you know that, you know, you're at a game and there's no media, shoot us a message on X or shoot us a tweet. You know, Brendan and I both have Twitters as well. I think that's big too, because we want to showcase every story that we can, and we're going to have a segment each week that, you know, talks about some of the top highlights of the week, as we did in our previous podcast when we started this thing as well. So feel free, you know, as you hit the subscribe button, or you hit the refresh button again, if you've already subscribed, to pass things along with us, because I think we'd really appreciate that.
Absolutely. And the goal of this podcast is just to make the announcement that we're back, and we're going to preview some of our fall sports and teams to watch for, but to re-energize the entire community and re-engage. So if you followed us on social media, if you haven't, at Inside CHSL, we're going to get those pages going again, and we're going to build up the subscriptions to this podcast. And we're going to tell a lot of great stories. We're going to cover a lot of great teams and a lot of great coaches and student athletes. And I think it's going to be tremendous. So that gives you an idea. And what you can expect every week, as Jeremy talked about, we're going to cover some of the top highlights. We're not going to get everything. This is not going to be just a rundown of, in volleyball, this school did this and this school did this. We're going to cover some of the top highlights. We're going to try to do that with every active sport in each season as the athletic year goes on. We're going to feature interviews with coaches, with student athletes, with athletic directors, Catholic League Hall of Fame members. We're going to bring back the CHSL history segment with a little spotlight on, you know, past championship teams and Hall of Fame athletes and so forth. So, we're going to try to bring a great mix of that stuff together, and then preview some of the, you know, bigger games that we have coming up in the following week. That's what you can expect on this podcast going forward. For today, we're going to focus on previewing our fall sports that are about to begin. Now, you're listening to this and you're going, Brendan, Jeremy, soccer already started. Yes, we know boys soccer is underway. So we're not going to dive into a full preview, only because when we get into a full episode next week, we're going to be able to highlight some of the key matchups. But several soccer teams across the league have already started playing and have already started accumulating wins. And we have numerous teams that we expect could make a run to the state championships again. Several that were in the state finals or in the state semifinals last year. So we'll get into all of that. Don't you worry. But as we talk about previews and we talk about state championships, great teams, well, did you even know that the past five state champions in Division I volleyball have all come from the Catholic League Central Division? They've all come from probably, I think it's a 15-mile radius between the schools, could be less, just a ballpark. But Mercy, the 2023 state champions, they look to defend their crown. Coming after them is Marion, who had won the three previous Catholic League, or not Catholic League. They've won Catholic League championships too, but the MHSA state championships, Mercy won it in 2019. So, you know, between Mercy and 19, three straight from Marion, and then another one from Mercy. They're the last five Division I state champions, and we can surely expect a few more classics on the court between these two teams this year, Jeremy.
Yeah, we've certainly had a number of good college volleyball players to even play in, you know, the highest division right now for years to come in the Big Ten. So it's cool to see two rivals not only battle in the Catholic League, because, you know, sometimes these teams and all these sports, they'll match up two, three, maybe even four times, depending on the sport in the regular season. And then by the time you get to the state playoffs again, they have to match up again. So they really know each other as well. It's almost like you're playing kind of a pro circuit where it's a series of sorts throughout the year. And you know, you're going to play a team four or five times. That's not easy by the fifth time around, when you have to make adjustments at the biggest level trying to get to a state title. But I think that really says how at the top the Catholic League volleyball has remained. And it's always cool to see and be in that atmosphere with those two teams duking it out. I mean, I've been in a number of volleyball championships over the years, even going back to high school. I remember how loud it was in particular smaller venues when they used to play it at Madonna's gym. But yeah, looking forward to another competitive year in volleyball. And seriously, if you've not given the sport a chance, maybe you're listening to this podcast because you're a football coach's parent, or, you know, some of the other sports. If you've never watched competitive volleyball, whether it be at the high school or college level, it's a really fun game to take in.
No question about it. And, you know, now you talk about Marion and Mercy, and just to give you kind of the preview of last year, you know, they duke it out in the Catholic League final and then in the state quarterfinal. And that's when Mercy defeated Marion and their path to winning a state championship. But those will be two of the many teams to watch in volleyball this year. If you jump to Division IV, you have two preseason top 10 teams in Division IV as well. And that's Everest and Our Lady of the Lakes. Everest, who won the first St. Anne's Catholic League Championship last year in 2023. So they're defending Catholic League champs. They enter the season not only as the favorite to win their league, but also to win Division IV, number one team there. And I mentioned Our Lady of the Lakes, number six in Division IV. So between those two schools as well, who also, that's even shorter distance between the two schools. They're very close to each other. A lot of talented athletes in that Waterford, Clarkston area. And you can expect to see some great battles between them and their other Catholic League foes as well. The other note to add, if you look at the AA, Orchard Lake St. Mary's, they've won the Catholic League, AA, the Cardinal Championship each of the last 2 years. They will look to repeat as Cardinal champions again. So that's just some of the teams across volleyball, defending champs, preseason, highly ranked teams that we expect to have a great year. And I'm sure there's going to be many, many more storylines that continue to develop as the volleyball season goes on. As we continue to breeze through, we go from the court to the field. High school football is set to begin as we record here on August the 21st is when this is being recorded. High school football kicks off August 29th. There are so many great games that opening weekend, and it's another highly anticipated season, especially within the Central Division. A lot of competition there, but really across the board. And Jeremy, I'll let you kind of talk through some of the teams to watch as we enter the high school football season.
Yeah, you talk about the 29th as well. It's kind of that rare first week. I mean, you always see a good amount of games on a Thursday, but it's rare you see most, if not all, the games on a Thursday. And that's what we have this year. So it'll be packed with good games around the state. You'll only be able to pick one, unfortunately, if you want to see a Catholic League game, but I'm sure there's other good games going on as well. In the Central Division, it's hard not to side with Toledo Central Catholic as they really, you know, assert their dominance since joining the Catholic League. They've got a 31 game winning streak heading into this year. So they were voted number one by the coaches this year. Right behind them is Catholic Central. De La Salle, how about that? They come in third. They just had another runner-up appearance in the state final game. What a job that Dan Roan has done since taking over. You know, went through a little bit of hard times in terms of trying to transition to a new head coach there, but he's done a great job so far. Orchard Lake 4, Brother Rice 5, Toledo St. John's pick 6. But watch out for Brother Rice. Yes, they didn't have a win at all last year. They were 0-9. They've got a new head coach, though, Aaron Marshall, who had some major success over at Southfield A&T. He just took them to a state championship. So they're pick 5th, but I mean, this could really be a bloodbath here in the states. You could argue top division now if it wasn't already before, and it didn't hurt it, obviously, to add in a few new additions over the last couple of years as well, Brennan.
Yeah, no question about that. And Jeremy, you summarized it. Every single one of those teams in the Central Division has a chance to make a deep run and find themselves playing at Ford Field on that last weekend of November. Obviously, with the exception of Toledo Central Catholic, but the same effect of they've played and won the Ohio State Championships as well, and they're expected to make another run and win again. You talk about the 31-game win streak. They've yet to lose a league game since joining the Catholic High School League as well. So, who will be the first Catholic League team to earn a victory against Toledo Central Catholic? You then continue to look down and you talk about Catholic Central, De La Salle, and Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Just a bloodbath. Catholic Central returns a lot and has high expectations going into this year. De La Salle, they've been in the Division II state finals each of the last 4 years, winning two of those games, losing two other competitive games. They definitely have a sour taste in their mouth after the state championship appearance last year and falling to Muskegon, a game that they controlled for a while. And then just kind of a series of events, things started to unfold, and then Muskegon just never looked back. So they obviously are hungry. All of these teams, of course, are hungry. And then there's Orchard Lake St. Mary's, another team that comes in with a lot of talent, a lot of expectations. And Jeremy, you talk about Brother Rice. With a new coach, with just a resurgence of energy, Brother Rice has, well, they've brought in a huge freshman class as well, which just numbers alone in the school, you would have to imagine, is going to help improve that program. It may take Coach Marshall a year or two to get that thing rolling, but if you don't expect Brother Rice to be back as one of the elite contenders in the Catholic League, as they have been much throughout their history, it's going to happen very soon. There's a real good thing going over there at Brother Rice as well. So very anticipated league play, and to see how everything shakes out, there's going to be a lot of parity, and I think you're going to see a lot of people, teams that beat each other and everybody beating up on each other. So it's going to be an interesting look at the standings when it all shakes out. You just got to survive the season healthy. That's the big thing. If you can get to the 6-win mark and keep your health, any one of them has a chance to go win a state championship.
Yeah, moving on to the AA as well, Jackson Lumen Christie, they seem to be the favorite, won another Division VII title last year. And I think that says something about this AA division. Loyola, you know, at one point was dominating here. You know, they were hovering around the intersectionals and got kind of bumped up to the AA and did a really good job there. They're now back to the intersectional one. More on them in a minute. But to have a Division VII team compete at this level in, you know, I mean, whatever you want to call it, this is kind of the Division III through V division, if you want to shake it out in terms of school size and competitiveness usually. But to see the Loyolas of the world at one point, and now the Lumen Christies of the world, one of the new faces in the league, compete at the highest level, I think is pretty cool. And it's a nice story. They'll be duking it out with Divine Child this year. I think they've been a really nice program under Coach Laney that's taken that next step. Obviously, they had the Theo Days and the Aiden Hutchinsons of the world. Obviously, Hutchinson's playing on Sunday still, so he made a nice name for himself in the Falcon jersey. But they've done a nice job as well of taking that next step after they were hovering around the 500/sub-500 level for quite some time. And then, in the intersectional one as well, Loyola, they've got to be maybe the favorite right off the bat, because they're a really dangerous school in that spot.
No question about it. Well, Jeremy, what Jackson Lumen Christie was able to do in the AA last year, obviously winning Division VII, but playing up in a league with Division III, IV, and V schools. It tells you, it shows you, there is really good caliber football in Division VI, Division VII, and into Division VIII. And we're going to talk about a couple of the highly projected favorites in Division VIII, I'm sure, as you continue the segment here. But Lumen Christie and Loyola both expected to be highly competitive in Division VII. Lumen Christie, just seeing them even from coaching basketball, those kids are built tough. That is physical, gritty, hard nose. It's everything you want. And they, even playing them in basketball and seeing that, they have that toughness about them that makes them so difficult to beat. And you have to, when you're going to play up against bigger schools, you have to have not only the physical, but the mental traits as well to be able to withstand that and go to battle. And they certainly possess it.
Yeah, don't sleep on the Cubs. Either Kevin Glenn taking over that program, kind of an interesting hire. He spent a year at Liggett after spending some really good years at Catholic Central as their offensive coordinator under Coach Anderson. He's a guy who has so many smarts when it comes to offense because he lived that life. I mean, he played professional football, both here in the United States and in Canada for a long time. So just being able to move around the pieces and know maybe how to fully optimize what you have. UD's always been a school that hasn't had huge numbers when it comes to football. Usually max 40 guys on the varsity roster, a JV team, sometimes a freshman team. But, you know, in a few years, he might have that program right back, you know, to the dominance to try to take a title in the double A as well. Moving on to intersectional two, since we already kind of touched on intersectional one as well, Clarkson Evers Collegiate. I mean, when you talk about a team capitalizing on resources, and for Mike Pernicki, who's been kind of a lifer coach there since the program started, to see them go from literally 10 to 15 bodies when healthy at the beginning of that program, even to touch, you know, the 25s to the 30 mark, has been pretty impressive given the school size. And they, I know they haven't won the ultimate prize quite yet, but boy, they do, aren't they?
Oh my gosh, no doubt about it. And you mentioned, you know, Coach, he's a lifer, and he's done such a great job building that program, a program that's been a playoff team every year that he's been there. The numbers have continued to grow. They're, of course, going to be the favorite in the intersectional two. They're going to be one of the favorites in Division Eight. We saw a classic in the playoffs between Riverview Gabriel Richard and Everest last year. And Gabriel Richard's another one that brings a lot of talent back. They graduate some seniors, especially on the offensive line. And they're one of their lead backs. So, you know, they're going to replace some pieces there. But, you know, those are two teams that, you know, between them and Loyola really make the intersectionals interesting. And then you have Lutheran North as well. That's another school that has built up a really nice program. They were a very competitive team last year. Would not be surprised to see them as well, you know, make a run at a Catholic League championship, prep bowl appearance down at Ford Field, and see what they can do in the state tournament as well. So a lot of exciting football ahead, Jeremy, and a lot of exciting volleyball ahead as well. It's going to make for two really fun seasons for us to cover here on the Inside CHSL podcast. And the other fall sport to make a mention as well, as we've talked volleyball and football, it must be nice to be good at golf. And it's something that I envy because I'm far from it. But girls golf, there's a lot of talent here in the Catholic League and across the state of Michigan. You have Mercy, who won Division II last year. Cranbrook, who was the runner-up, taking a look at the preseason rankings as well. Lutheran North is ranked number three in Division III. Marion's ranked number eight in Division III. Ann Arbor Green Hills, defending Catholic League champions, ranked number four in Division IV. St. Catherine and Wixom is ranked number eight in Division IV as well. So exciting to see hopefully some more state champions and some competitive play. And if any of our golfers in the Catholic League are offering lessons, sign me up, because I could use help with my driver and my irons and my putter. So any help you could give, I would take. But that should be exciting to see some teams looking to defend state championships and make state championship runs again as well in girls golf. So, Jeremy, are you excited yet? You ready to go for a great season?
I'm ready. Yeah, this is something that's ramped up pretty quickly. But, you know, it gives us a chance to run right back into it. And I think we've got a lot of good ideas and a lot of good guest ideas as well. Like we said, we welcome any input from you at home and what you want. And certainly, you know, the thing that makes something like this successful is especially like a tight-knit group that Catholic schools are. And we both know what that's like because we both attended one here in the league as well. You know, share what we're doing. You know, text it to people, share it on social media, subscribe to get the most up-to-date content. And we're gonna, you know, take you right through the seasons here. We're not even gonna take a break in between fall and winter, but you know, those crossover seasons are also some of the most fun too when you have teams vying for a state title and the next years are beginning. But I think we're getting a little tease with the weather this week in terms of we're in the 70s. I know it's going to take a turn and hit the 80s once again come the first week for a lot of these sports. But it's really starting to feel like fall already.
Yes, it is. As a pool owner, I'm very open to having another nice week of warm 80 and 90 degree type weather till we get the final enjoyment of the pool. But you're 100% right. The fall weather really is starting to set in, and we're getting a glimpse of that. A lot of great teams that are expected to do a lot of great things across the Catholic League. And as Jeremy said, help us tell these stories. If there's something we can share, please contact us, contact the league office, and help us share those stories. We're really, really excited for a great year of promoting Catholic League athletics. We thank you for joining us here on the return episode of Inside CHSL. For my co-host, Jeremy Otto, I'm Brendan Johnson. We will see you next week for our first full episode as we get back into the groove of Inside CHSL.